Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're in this exciting venue. Some of you have been with us as we've been featuring shows that we recorded in live venues. This is another one of those series of shows. This one is being recorded in Orlando, Florida. It is the summer of 2025, and we're talking with people at the ASI International Convention. Across from me is someone that I had the privilege of meeting, I want to guess, maybe 5 years ago, Chris Dellen. Chris, it's great to have you sitting here across from me.
It's so good to be here, Dr. DeRose.
Chris, you and I have a history that goes back to a little project that we launched, I want to say 8 or 10 years ago, shortly after we had released our book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control. It was one of my friends in Indian country, a native health leader, who was talking with me and said, you know, Dr. DeRose, I'm sure your book is really good, but a lot of our people are not going to read your book. He could have just as well been speaking about the Spanish population or the English population in Manhattan, because no matter what demographic you look at, a lot of people just don't read big books today. And that was his point. And his challenge to me is, well, you're working in Indian country. What are you going to do for us? And that inspired me to record 36-minute videos that took the principles in our book, 30 Days to Natural Blood Pressure Control, and some of the work I'd done with diabetes, and put it into a series of videos. We now call it 30 Days to Better Health. And when we released that on YouTube, we were overwhelmed by the one or two people that, you know, watched it over the course of a few months. Well, fast forward to a number of years later, and I heard about this guy, Chris Dellen. We were working with a faith community in northern Indiana. You were, and still are, based in the Indianapolis area, correct?
Yes.
And so we heard about you, and you said, well, you know, we can automate your program. So tell us a little bit about what you did and what's now out there that we collaborated on.
Yeah, it was a really fun project because I think what you put together makes such a meaningful difference to so many people's lives, especially if you embrace some of these principles that you have shared. And so, you know, we have a passion for bringing individuals' messages, in your case, a message or products, to people who wouldn't necessarily receive those. And so we get excited when we see something great that's hidden. And we like to kind of shine a light on that and use, obviously, technology and advertising and social media to get the message out there. So, yeah, we're really excited to partner up with you on that one.
So for those of you who are totally oblivious to anything we're talking about, you may have heard on this very radio show of our program called 30 Days to Better Health. It's a free program. You can actually sign up for it at timelesshealinginsights.org/30. And if you sign up there every day for 30 days, you'll get a link to a short, on average, 6-minute video that will walk you through a pretty comprehensive lifestyle program. Well, I recorded those videos. Not many people were watching them, but Chris and his team automated them. They put them into this format, developed a beautiful landing page that I just gave you, the timelesshealinginsights.org/30. That's what Chris's team built. And we've had a few more than two people who've gone through it now. Any idea? I know you didn't just look at the metrics.
Thousands from dozens of countries.
Okay. So it's been exciting. And a lot of our radio listeners have heard about the program and no doubt engaged with the content. So, Chris, what I thought when I said, boy, Chris Dellen is going to be here at this venue, I said, you need to talk about what you can offer to tribes and to other folks. We have representatives of tribal nations, we have tribal council people, tribal health workers, but we have people across the demographic and occupational spectrum. Some people don't even realize that they've ever met a Native American, as hard as that might be to believe. But anyway, you're doing some exciting stuff for companies, for faith communities, kind of a whole list of things. Tell us a little bit about your bigger vision and why you're even here.
Yeah, thank you for that. So to tell you about that vision, I had to go back a long ways in my career. So I've been in the business world for, 20 plus years now. And I started my career in a technology company in Indianapolis as an inside salesperson. And for those of you who don't know what an inside salesperson is, you make a lot of phone calls and you get a lot of no's. And it's a really challenging job to be in. And I slowly worked my way up all the way to president of the company.
Wow.
And we got to work with some really fantastic clients all over the country. But one of the first things I had to do as president is we had been taking care of a customer for many years. It was a very large customer. It was a $50 million contract. And we came in second place on the renewal.
Oh, wow.
Which led to one of the most difficult days of my life of basically having to walk in and let an entire team go who had been working in our business for years because we didn't have that contract anymore. Mm. And it was one of the most challenging days of my business career to have to do that. And ever since that day, I've been really passionate about helping organizations who have a vision, who have a product, who have something, never have to face that day.
Mm.
And so when somebody has an incredible idea, most people have an incredible idea, are not necessarily marketers, and they don't know how to take that idea and share it, or they don't know how to take that product and share it with an audience. And so anytime we see an incredibly awesome idea out there, what we love to do is get behind that person and teach them how to market and sell the product in a scalable way so they don't have to face the decisions I had to make on that day. So we're very motivated, very passionate about helping guys.
I love your vision, and we've appreciated what you've done for us on a number of fronts. And as I was thinking about what you do, and you and I have spoken over the years, I said, there's so many great ideas that come out of Indian country and so many great tribal programs. And sure, those might be able to be disseminated, among a closely knit community. But often there's things that tribal nations are developing that are serving communities, serving states, regions, and it seems like there might be a place for something like what you and your team at Del Mar do. Is that thinking too far afield of the kind of work that you do, or is that along the same lines of what you're looking to help people with?
That's exactly what we're along the lines to do. I think when you find someone who's passionate about what they do. I love talking with somebody who's super excited about what they do. And when they have a good product or a good idea, I think the first step is just teaching them how do we package up that idea in a way that consumers or other businesses will use. And so teaching them how to go along that journey is a really fulfilling one for us.
Now, one of the things we've appreciated with your team is as we worked with you at multiple junctures, you said, we can teach you guys how to do this. You don't need to rely on us for all of this. So we didn't sense that you were basically saying, hey, listen, you're working with us. If you, cut the cord, you guys are going down. And I know the folks that I was working with said, this is a good group of folks to work with. You have workers who you contract with, subcontract, you have people on your team. So what all kind of content creation can you do? If someone's listening right now and maybe they say, maybe it is an internet-based project, maybe it's a kind of brick-and-mortar thing, maybe it's a, let's take an example, someone who's, maybe they've reinvigorated some tribal crafts and things and they're trying to get the word out and looking for a market for whether it's baskets or beadwork or something like that. Is that something that a group could speak to you about and you could help give visibility to?
Absolutely. I think, each business is a little bit different and how do you go to market is a little bit different. So I think that's an important conversation up front is how do you take your product to market? And, we've been blessed with an incredible team across the country that we work with. We help support over $1 billion in sales pipeline today. Mm-hmm. We help manage millions of customers across the world, really. And it can be kind of daunting for somebody who's spent all of their time innovating some idea on what do I do next. And so I think the first thing to do is make sure you have a good, solid business strategy. And then I think from there, we are blessed with an incredible team of videographers, video editors, copywriters, graphic designers, marketing automation specialists, CRM specialists, all the entire team that somebody needs to take a product to market. And instead of having to hire 10 or 15 people with all of those skills, we come to an organization that's looking for help in that area, and we bring exactly what they need at a much more cost-effective way than it would be to build a team like that from scratch. Plus, the know-how of just how do you put all those pieces together to drive revenue.
So how does someone get a hold of you and just kind of extend the dialogue or learn about what you're doing? Can they go to a website? Is that the best place?
Probably the best place to go is to our website. It's UC Growth. That's letter U, letter C, growth, growth.co. And from there, they can absolutely get a meeting scheduled with us. We'd be happy to talk through their business situation and see if there's some ideas we can help.
Now, when I hear UC Growth, I used to live in California. I think of University of California at UC. Is that what the UC stands for, or is it a play on words like UC, I look and see growth, or tell me the background of that name?
It's funny. There's several meanings to this word. Uh-huh. So the first one is obviously UC Growth. So you see growth by working with us.
Okay.
The second one, our tagline for our business is Uncommon Growth.
Mm.
You know, I think a lot of people think starting a business is kind of like hitting the lottery. And it's really not like in most. So there are instances where it's like hitting the lottery. But 99.99% is a lot of work,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of strategy and a lot of time to build that. And so we take that uncommon approach to dig in and do whatever is needed to help a business grow. So it stands for both of those things.
Okay. Now, I know, at least from what I understand about your work, most of your work is with corporate clients, but you also have a special interest in faith communities. Tell us a little bit about that connection.
We do. So faith has been a big part of my life since I was a kid. It's had a dramatic impact on myself, my family, our daughters. We have my wife and I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And, you know, we are really excited about helping churches. Most churches struggle from some of the same things businesses do. They don't know how to get an important message out to their communities. And so we are really excited to work with faith communities to help them do that very thing.
And so your pricing structures are different for faith communities than corporate clients? Is that safe to say?
Very safe to say. We've been blessed with a large base of corporate clients who help not necessarily fund, but offset some of the costs. And we lower the cost dramatically for faith-based communities to make access to our services a little more easy.
Okay, because I know when I look at pricing things out, sometimes I say, this could add up pretty quickly. And a lot of faith communities, they don't have those kind of budgets.
Yes.
So just tell us about that piece of the puzzle. And the reason I'm asking it here and on our radio show is, although we go out on a number of secular stations, we go out on reservation-based stations, but we do have quite a few faith-based stations that air this show. So if someone's listening and they say, why would I want to deal with this Del Mar company when basically I'm just trying to run a church and minister to my community?
It's a really good question. And, you know, when I ask a faith-based community, how does somebody find your organization? And 9 times out of 10, somebody will say, well, they probably Google us. And that is very true, and you'd be surprised how many faith-based communities we work with who have a Google review lower than what you or I would be acceptable staying at an Airbnb. And so we forget some of the basic things that are really, really important. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, but just making sure that, you know, you're getting the message, the real message, what makes your faith-based community special and unique and different out into the world in a positive way.
Chris, listen, I appreciate you pulling away from your booth and joining us here. One more time, how does someone get a hold of you and your team or learn about your services?
Yep, so just go to www.ucgrowth.co. That's letter U, letter C, growth, growth.co.
Thanks so much, Chris. Continued success. We got to step away briefly. We got some other great guests coming, lining up. Well, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but they're going to be here behind the mic right after these important messages. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at aianl.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, aianl.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We've got an exciting segment right now in front of us because sitting across from me is Luke Fisher. Luke, it is so good to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. DeRose.
Here in this very venue, we were reminiscing on some of my connections in Indian country, and I was actually doing a short interview for Dene Adventist Radio just a little while ago today. And was mentioning my time that I spent over a decade in Oklahoma, working especially with First Nation peoples there, as well as people across the demographic spectrum. And one of the names that kept coming up when I was in Oklahoma were the Fishers. It seemed like I kept running into folks who had the same last name as you. Why would that be?
Well, there's a lot of us. My father is one of five siblings. I'm one of six. So there's like a whole network of us. I'm not a First Nation person, but I have been living in Muscogee Creek Nation my whole life, and my father, and my grandfather, and my great-grandfather. And yeah, so we've been there a long time.
And I know very close to the land, you guys have history of farming in that area?
Yeah, I'm an organic regenerative farmer and also a registered nurse.
Now, this is a fascinating background. So organic farmer, registered nurse, and people say, well, wow, those are some great skills to use in Oklahoma, but right now, you don't call Oklahoma home.
Well, I split my time, and currently I'm spending about 7-8 months out of the year in West Africa in Senegal, and then just home in the spring and summer for a few months.
So kind of helping out during busy times on the farm?
Yeah, I help my dad with some hay harvest, and we also have my market garden that we grow a little bit of vegetables for the local community. And then I'm also a nurse practitioner student, family nurse practitioner. I have an interest in holistic primary care. And this really, it kind of grew out of my journey in agriculture, from farming to regenerative farming or stewardship of the land. Hmm. You know, God has entrusted us to take care of what he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, like, good stewardship of the soil, and it clearly directly ties in to our own health. And we have a responsibility to be good stewards of our own health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've kind of made this journey from farming to organic farming to healthcare and holistic primary care.
So this is a really interesting journey. You're also a family man. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I have a wife and six children. And yeah, we have a good time.
Okay, so this is a really unusual story, okay? There's not a lot of people that I run into that are farmers and nurses that spend their time between a developing nation and the U.S.
Yeah, that's an interesting twist on the story. So what I'm actually doing in West Africa is training community dental health workers. So this is like one aspect of primary care that is underserved around the world. Like dental caries, which is like the medical jargon for cavities, is the most prevalent health condition or disease on the planet. Billions of people suffer with dental tooth decay, and that leads to toothaches, a lot of pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't get treatment.
Mm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, if my patients are any indicator, they often tell me they had some bad experience with a dentist, or maybe they didn't have a bad experience, but someone else did, and they're afraid to go.
You're right. So around the world, in some countries, there's just few dentists to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, there is the fear.
Mm-hmm.
The fear. It's just like not a fun experience to be getting your teeth drilled on, high-speed drills,
uh-huh.
injections in your mouth, grabbing some teeth with pliers and yanking them out. It just is, it sounds like a horror story. And maybe it's not that bad, but a lot of people, they experience that fear.
No, it's real.
And they experience that fear, the pain and the fear, and it just prevents a lot of people from seeking care. And I had the opportunity over a decade ago to do an internship with an organization called Dental Care for All International.
Hmm.
And this was led by a Canadian dental therapist. Canadian dental therapists are trained to provide primarily primary care dental services to First Nation people in far northern and remote communities in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he saw the value of this care and was seeking to make it available around the world, not just in Canada, but in countries all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the opportunity to do a workshop with him. As a nurse, I was working for a few months. I volunteered at a hospital in Chad, Central Africa, Barry Adventist Hospital. And it's an acute care surgical hospital. They see a lot of sick patients with malaria, all kinds of things, but also people that had very severe dental abscesses would come there for treatment. So we'd put them on antibiotic therapy, IVs in the hospital, drain a lot of pus from their faces, pull out these teeth. I was working as a nurse there. There was no dentist there.
Hmm.
But there were some other nurses there that had some basic experience extracting teeth. But they did this with general anesthesia.
Wow.
They did ketamine dentistry, which ketamine is a great anesthetic, but terrible dental anesthetic.
Hmm. And why is it a terrible dental anesthetic?
Because it causes you to clench your jaw and salivate a lot.
Okay.
So you have to use a mouth prop to keep from you getting your fingers bit off. And, you know, so anyway, this a proper dentist came and visited. He's like, you guys need to really learn how to do proper extractions. And he trained a whole team of nurses there to do that, which was great. But it just like bugged me that like the only thing that we can do is extractions, you know, a dental operatory, getting a dentist there full time to do all the complicated things that dentists do. It was just not, it's just never going to happen. And it still hasn't happened in that country yet, at least in that zone. All right. But this planted the seed that led me on my primary care dental journey. And I had the opportunity to meet with Dental Care for All International, did a training with them, helped them put on some other, over a 2-year period, I participated in a number of events and Then I began working in Democratic Republic of Congo with a mission organization there and started training other Congolese nurses how to do this care. And it's non-invasive preventative and restorative care, medical management of caries.
So give me an idea what that looks like. If someone walks in, are you trying to prevent it, or once someone actually has a cavity, you're trying to intervene?
We can do both. So basically, we can stop the decay. We can stop the process. So a cavity is an infection. It's an infection that has bacteria actively infecting. It's not a normal microbiome. It's a kind of a maladapted microbiome situation. It's an infection in that tooth. We can treat that infection with topical antiseptics like you would treat an infection anywhere else, a cut, or we can wash out and disinfect that. And one of the things we use is so simple. It's povidone iodine, or also known as betadine, that you just like get at Walmart or the pharmacy. It's just like over-the-counter betadine, 10% betadine.
No, wait. I'm just trying to follow along with this. So you're telling me that someone, even here, I mean, anywhere.
Anywhere. They can go they can go to Walmart, buy a little bottle of betadine, dip a Q-tip in that, paint it on their teeth, and
how often
cavities.
Do they have to do this, and for how long?
So you will just dry the teeth like with a paper towel or something and paint one dip in the betadine onto one end of a Q-tip and use that over all of the teeth.
Oh, the whole mouth. So even though you've got just one identified area of decay.
Yeah. So, and the reason for that is we're shifting the whole mouth's microbiome, and it reduces the bacterial load of the mouth temporarily. And for some reason, the good bacteria come back faster than the bad bacteria, and you will leave a anti-cariogenic or a cavities reducing effect in the mouth for like weeks afterwards.
Wait a minute. So how many times do you need to apply this iodine solution?
So like for maintenance purposes, they say like once every 6 months is adequate. Our protocol is once a month. Like, we tell parents to do this for your kids once a month.
So a child comes in to Senegal where you're working.
Yeah, we got a little clinic there, and we also work directly in the public school system.
Okay. Or you go to the public school and you see this kid, and do you do x-rays or just by observation?
Observation. We do a good physical examination and history, you know, ask questions. And you learn a lot after thousands of, you can learn a lot from the outside after thousands of kids.
Okay. So you say, okay, this kid's got three cavities.
Uh-huh.
There's no one to pull the teeth, no one to drill the teeth.
Uh-huh.
And so you're going to tell the parent once a month, you're going to take this iodine swab and coat all the teeth?
Yes.
And then what's going to happen a year later?
Well, the cavities are all going to arrest and not continue to grow. And if they're baby teeth, they'll eventually fall out and you get some new ones in. Now, we have other treatments we do. That's just like the simplest one.
Yeah.
That's the simplest one. So we do topical caries arrest, and we also do non-invasive restoration. So we do actual fillings using commercially available glass ionomer cement.
We have to step away just briefly. I am fascinated by what Luke Fisher is sharing with me. He's a registered nurse. He's also a nurse practitioner, student, father, farmer, or I mean, the list goes on and on, but I'm very excited about these dental approaches and how they could be used throughout Indian country and beyond. Can you stay by, Luke, and continue the dialogue?
Yeah, just getting started.
Okay, we got to step away just briefly. Stay by. Luke Fisher's going to be back. Don't you miss it. We'll be right back.
American Indian and Alaskan Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaskan Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Across from me is Luke Fisher. If you've been with us from the beginning of the previous segment, Luke is doing what I just find some fascinating work with non-invasive dentistry. To me, it's an amazing concept. I'm going to be honest with you, Luke. It's not something that was on my radar screen. So you're educating me as well as our listeners.
Well, yeah, it didn't used to be on my radar either. But when I was a kid, I got a lot of cavities and had to go to the dentist all the time. And we're trying to prevent that with other kids. So, yeah, I was talking about our non-invasive approach to community dental care.
Mm-hmm.
This is medical management of caries. So we start with lifestyle education, practical choices that families can make to reduce their amount of cavities they get. Because basically, cavities are a lifestyle disease.
You got to tell us what these lifestyle choices are. Yeah.
All right. So one of them is not eating in between meals.
Really? It really makes a difference.
Yeah. So basically, the bacteria in your mouth digest all the scraps of food that you get in the cracks of your teeth. And when they digest that, they make acid, and that dissolves the minerals from your teeth, and that starts the process. So if you just eat at regular times and not be snacking in between, and you rinse your mouth after with eating a piece of something with high fiber, or swish some water, or brush your teeth, you know, you don't even have to brush your teeth to get most of the food out of the cracks of your teeth. So if you just eat at regular times and not just snacking in between meals, that gives a lot less time for the bacteria to be making acid in your mouth.
Okay. So we've got that strategy. Any other important lifestyle strategies?
Well, your lifestyle choices affect your oral microbiome. And if you're a mother, your child inherits your oral microbiome.
So these are the germs that normally live in the mouth.
Yes. So this is all of the, I wouldn't call them all germs.
Okay.
That has kind of a negative connotation.
Okay.
Now, in the case of caries, yeah, we'll call them germs. But there is a normal, healthy oral microbiome that is derived from a healthy diet. And you can pass that on to your children.
Okay.
So about 40% of the bacteria in your mouth today, studies have shown, are like directly inherited from your mother.
Now, even at my age as an adult?
Even at your age.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So what my mom ate actually influences my oral health?
Yes. Yes. So basically, whatever gets planted first is hard to displace. So your own choices over the course of your life can shift that. But like, studies have shown that like 40% of an adult's oral microbiome is directly from their parent, from their mother. And So one of the most effective strategies that research has found to prevent cavities for the lifetime is actually targeting in prenatal setting, trying to shift mother's oral microbiome. And one of the effective strategy for that is xylitol. Have you heard of xylitol?
I have heard of xylitol.
Right. So xylitol is a kind of a birch sugar, or it's wood-derived sugar that is not processed by bacteria the same way regular sugar is. They can't, it's like you don't digest it the same way. You eat it, it's produced by bacteria in our gut. It's like part of our normal, our liver knows how to process it, and that we can derive some energy indirectly from it. But the bacteria in your mouth can't. The caries-causing bacteria just stops their production. So if you take these like xylitol breath mints after every meal from a few months before birth till a few months after birth, this shifts the mother's microbiome during that critical inoculation period for the child and sets the child up for success for the rest of their life.
Now, xylitol, isn't that also used as a sweetener in sugarless gums?
It is. It's better than sorbitol for as far as this goes. So, but yeah, it's used as a alternative sweetener in gums and for dental health. It's very effective for promoting dental health.
Interesting. So this stuff about sugarless gum being better than regular gum is not just a better alternative. It actually could be helping the mouth?
Yes, definitely. Xylitol, that's like one of our critical interventions for medical management of caries. It's an effective strategy for altering your oral microbiome in a healthy direction.
And it's especially important for a woman late in pregnancy and then early after delivery.
Correct.
Wow.
So it's like a enjoyable, because it tastes good, low cost, like just think $10 worth of mints over a few month period, preventing all of your childhood cavities for the rest of this kid's life.
That is crazy. This is amazing stuff. So what else is in your armamentarium of educational interventions?
We also use a product in modern dentistry on the U.S. market. The product is used is called silver diamine fluoride. It's a silver salt. It's a silver and fluoride salt. It's reactive and reacts with a bacteria in a cavity, but not with the enamel itself. So it doesn't stain teeth, but it will react with the bacteria in a cavity. And it leaves, and it kind of fixes them there as a antibacterial patina down in the cracks and crevices. So what we do is we'll remove, if there's a cavity in a tooth, we'll like rinse out or wash out or scrape out the bulk kind of cheesy food gunk and other decay. And all the stuff, instead of drilling out what remains in the crevices, we treat it with silver diamine fluoride, or in our case in Africa, we use silver nitrate, which is lower cost, but has the same effect. A reactive silver salt that leaves a permanent antibacterial patina in those cracks and crevices, and it mineralizes and hardens that decayed dentin. And we can put a filling over top of that with great results.
So you didn't remove?
We didn't really? Drill it.
So this silver nitrate, you can still buy these little sticks, like they used to use them for cautery, like to stop bleeding. Is it the same stuff?
So yeah, it is. So we're doing something slightly higher class than that. We use like 99.99% pure silver nitrate mixed with distilled water. So it's a clear liquid, and we apply it with these micro applicator brushes like that are used for gluing on eyelash extensions.
Wow.
And we apply it just right in the cavity, and arrests decay quickly. The silver nitrate has like an 80% success rate. Our glass ionomer fillings, which is a filling material that chemically bonds to the tooth structure, and it's made from similar minerals as the tooth, and it mineralizes and strengthens the tooth, that has like an 80% success rate on its own. But if we stack those two interventions, we can take a serious cavity or carry that, as long as the tooth is still alive, and 100% arrest it.
So here's where I'm going with this, Luke. So you're using these techniques in Senegal, but if a tribe, maybe a large reservation, maybe a large population base, maybe a lot of these issues with fear of dental procedures, they could say, well, let's bring in some of these public health, dental people, community health workers. Is that the idea? And they could make an impact?
Yes, definitely should be incorporated into tribal health strategic planning. In Oregon, in the state Medicaid health insurance scheme there. They're now providing universal interventions along these lines for all children in the public school system.
Wow.
So they will hire expanded practice dental hygienists. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, they can do a filling without a dentist on site. And they will screen all the kids in the school, and they'll have a little cart, and they'll roll into the back of a classroom and pop a kid out of their seat, come to the back of the classroom, and put these fillings in with no drilling, no needles, no loud noises, no pain. In a few minutes, send them back to their seat and not even disturb the class. And they treat all the cavities in the whole school system this way. So there's people doing it. And there's a network of dental practices called Equity Dental that are doing this on a commercial scale. There's a whole network of practices. And their goal is to do like at least 50% of their care along this line of preventative, non-invasive, restorative work.
So Equity Dental is throughout the U.S.?
It's scattered like half dozen states currently, but it's expanding.
Hmm.
So if you're involved in public health or dentistry, there's a whole network of dentists promoting medical management of caries here in the U.S.
Yeah, this is interesting stuff. So before we get any more into this, and I know you could probably speak for hours, but we do have a show with limited time. Folks are listening to what you're doing, Luke, and they're connecting the dots and they're realizing, hey, there's no way the people in Senegal are paying for these services at any kind of a market rate. So how do you and your family sustain yourself in those 7 or 8 months while you're away from the U.S.?
All right. So the dental care itself, when we're working in the school system, we'll provide care for free for clinical practice for our students and the community dental health workers. But in general, we keep the cost low enough mm-hmm. that it's affordable. It's just a dollar or two of materials.
Really?
And these people are spending that kind of money on snacks and soft drinks on a weekly basis or a daily uh-huh. basis, depending on their wow. economic level. And so we encourage people to take responsibility for their own health and their own children's health. It's like, how many soft drinks are your kids drinking every week?
Hmm.
Would you deprive them of their soft drinks for 1 week to have all of their cavities arrested and filled and their permanent molars sealed for the rest of their life? Is that worth a couple days of soft drinks? And of course they say yes. So, but they've never had that opportunity to make that kind of choice. So we're making something available that's valuable at an affordable level of price so people can actually sustain it.
This is great. And then what about your services? I mean, you're not charging, as I understand, correct?
No, for the training, I don't charge for the training. So yeah, our family, we have a nonprofit organization that sponsors our travel and our expenses while we're there, because we'll be over there like 7 months this year
mm-hmm.
and I won't be making any regular income. So yeah, there's a nonprofit, pathwayofpromise.org.
Okay, let me make sure I've got this. Pathway
uh-huh.
of promise.org.
Correct.
Now, I'd never heard of this website, but you showed it to me at the break, and it looked like, when I just looked at it quickly, it looked like some kind of a music website.
Yeah, so my wife's family had a music ministry for many years, and that was the basis of the organization. But when we started working in West Africa, they're like, hey, if you want to, you know, we'll expand our ministry beyond music to community dental health work, and you can use this charitable organization for sponsoring your activities.
Okay. Luke, I wish we had more time, but I think what we've gotten from you is enough to kind of just shift a whole bunch of people's mindsets. If people want to help your work, they could go to pathwayofpromise.org.
Yeah, I would be happy to share other resources. Check out dentalcareforall.org. Some good resources there. Equity Dental, also some good resources.
Luke, thanks so much for pulling away from your busy schedule.
Well, thank you, Dr. DeRose, for the invitation. It's something I'm excited about, always happy to talk about.
We do have to step away. We've got a final guest that will be joining us in our last segment of today's show. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be back with more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose, host of American Indian and Alaska Native Living Radio.
with a special word of appreciation for all of you who make this show possible. This radio show comes to you as the result of generous donors who have given us the ability to produce this broadcast for over 20 years. Some of these donors also support our sister programming that is released through Timeless Healing Insights at timelesshealinginsights.org. You've likely heard us speak about some of those free programs on previous episodes. If you haven't, we have comprehensive programs that use short online videos to help with high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and more. Because of that strong connection, TimelessHealingInsights.org provides a single website to access our radio archives and other free health programs that can help you, your family, and your tribe. Thanks again to all of you who make these quality resources available.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We've been speaking about all things health from the broadest context, whether it's financial health, physical health, mental health, a lot of opportunities to talk with people who are operating in those various spaces here at ASI 2025 in Orlando, Florida. Across from me is another such individual, Valdene Valle. Valdene, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Valdene, you are representing an organization that I know has inspired a lot of enthusiasm over the years, including among listeners of my radio show, because you currently represent a very interesting health facility training program. Tell us about that organization.
Okay, it's Wildwood Health Institute. We have a lifestyle center, and we try to help people physically, mentally, and spiritually. We have also a missionary school, and they try to train people in this medical missionary work that we call. Basically, we are training people to go and help others in the same thing we do in the Lifestyle Center. And we also have that natural food store to serve our community around us and the farm.
So we've always liked Wildwood. Early in my career, after I completed my internal medicine training, I actually spent some time there as one of the staff physicians. You are one of the kind of oldest lifestyle medicine institutions in the U.S. How long have you guys been around for?
Since 1942.
1942, and you've been teaching a message that seemed to a lot of people, I think, for many years, like, oh, Adam, what are these people talking about, you know, eating more of these plant foods and getting exercise and something. This is all cutting edge stuff now. The world has really come around and they're saying, wow, where have we been all these years? How long have you been involved with Wildwood?
7 years.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your current role.
Okay, now since April this year, 2025, I am the new president of the institution.
So you're the president of Wildwood Institute. Is that the official name for the whole facility? You call it Wildwood Institute?
Yeah.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about these intensive lifestyle change programs that you run.
We have several programs, but you have a four-day program. We have also a one-day program. It's not a residential program, but people come and they will learn. They have treatments and they go home. But you have 4 days, we have 7 days, 11 days, and a 25-day program. We have medical programs. So people that have some kind of disease, they come to reverse the disease. And you have a no medical program as well. People, they want to come to learn, to receive treatments, to relax, to have a more, restore their connection with our Lord, with God as well. And you have a mental program. So people that have some kind of mental issues, we are able to help them as well.
So it's a Christian-based program, but I know even from my time there, people come from all spiritual backgrounds. You don't force them into any kind of a religious box, but you have that service orientation that comes from your Christian background. You have an interesting accent for many people. They're thinking, it doesn't sound like you maybe come from that part of the country. First of all, where is Wildwood, and then where are your roots?
Okay, Wildwood is located in Georgia. It's in the border with Tennessee. And I am from Brazil. This is why I have this strong accent.
Okay. So we've got a Brazilian president in a institution just really outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, correct?
Yes.
So if someone is flying to Wildwood, I know people come from all over the country, all over the world. And how far a drive is it from the airport in Chattanooga?
It's less than 30 minutes without traffic. Yeah.
Okay, less than a half an hour. Okay, so it's conveniently located to a major airport. And you've got people coming through. And I didn't know this. You have as short as a one-day program? Someone can just fly in and get like an intensive?
Yes. Usually the local people come to this one-day program. It's not people from far away. But we want to reach this community around us, people from Chattanooga. Sometimes they all let me go and just test and see what they do there. How is this program? I want like just to relax and learn because we have cooking classes, we have lectures and do hydrotherapy treatments. They can have an appointment with one of our physicians or providers, nurse practitioners, for example.
So a lot of people would say, well, this sounds a lot like a spa. Do some people use that term for the facility?
Some people use, yeah. It's not a spa, but we have some similarity.
So you have the massage and the different hydrotherapy treatments and all.
Yes, yeah.
I'll just be honest with you. A lot of folks say, well, I wouldn't go to an institution like that because the food is so different. Do you get a lot of complaints about the food, how bad it tastes?
No. Usually people, they love the food and they say, oh, I didn't know that we can eat vegetarian food and be so tasteful like this.
So tell me what got you into this and why you keep going to work at Wildwood, why you would take on the presidency of an institution like this.
Yeah, it's a long story, but my background, I used to work with software development. And I had my software development company in Brazil. And the Lord called me to work full-time to him. So when I understood that, I left my company. My partners stay run the business. I have nothing with this company anymore. And I went to an institution like Wildwood in Brazil. I worked there for 1 year. And I came to Wildwood and I was a student in 2018. And after that, I stay in the institution working. I work in this natural food store that we have there. And the last 2 years, I was the administration, the Lifestyle Center. And since April now, we have a constituents. They vote me as the new president.
Okay. Now, you mentioned this natural food store. You guys were gracious enough to have a medical conference earlier this year. You invited me to be one of your speakers. And my wife and I enjoyed being there. But I have to, you know, let the listeners know that my wife especially enjoyed the natural food store because she likes a number of these bulk nut butters and seed butters. And she said, I mean, they have this tahini, this sesame seed butter. They're very inexpensive. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we got a few gallons of tahini while we were there. So if folks don't know what that is, you can use it to make hummus and other dishes, as well as you could even use it as a spread. Instead of using butter or margarine, you can put some tahini on. It's a stronger flavor.
Yes.
So she really enjoyed the natural food store as well as the nice environment there. But let's talk to folks right now. You know, there's a lot of people who listen to the show. They've got diabetes, high blood pressure. Maybe they just had a heart attack or maybe even a stroke, and they're really looking for new direction. They may not be able to come to Wildwood. We do want to give your contact information out before we finish. But if you could give like three bullet points, you know, what could you tell someone in a few minutes that could kind of change their perspective and maybe help move them in the direction of reversing a disease process?
Yes. When people come to Wildwood and they have all this kind of disease that you just mentioned now, what is most important for them to learn is, first, we have no power to heal anyone, but the Lord, He has power to do that. And He wants us to use the tools that He gave us for free for us to have a better health, for example, nutrition. If you start to give to my body the right foods, the right time, so the body can heal itself, because God designed like that. For example, most of the people in this country, they don't exercise. Some of them, they sit the whole day. So if you start in implementing some easy and nice exercise that we can do every day, just for example, walking, you make a huge difference in the health. And if you start, for example, go outside and receiving sunlight, you make a huge difference. And you have so much research today that show that and that prove that make difference.
I love the vision of the Lifestyle Center because, you know, it's one thing to tell people how to eat. But like you mentioned, when we were there, we enjoyed the food, you know, excellent meals that you guys served. And it's a whole different process to me as a physician to tell someone to change their diet, even if I give them some recipes. But when they come to a residential facility, if they're staying for 4 days or a week or 11 days, whatever, you're feeding them these better foods from day one. But at the same time, you're showing them, well, here is how we made this food. So I love that because they can get the benefits from the very beginning. They can see that you're not asking them to live a miserable existence. And do you see people calling you back, coming back with changed lives?
Yes, we do. We do. And this is very interesting because we can change your life, but you need to make some effort to that. Because it looks like it's easier to go to a physician. For example, I have hypertension. And I receive some medicine. I take, oh, okay, my hypertension now is better. But this medicine has a side effect. As you continue the same lifestyle, you get worse and you need another stronger medicine.
Often true.
Yeah, so it's going on and you not improve.
We love what you guys are doing. I wish we had a whole hour with you to talk about Wildwood, some of the success stories. But our time is just about gone. Let us know how we can get a hold of Wildwood, the team there, learn about the program.
Okay, the easiest way will be through our website. We have a website, wildwoodhealth.com. So this is the Lifestyle Center website, wildwoodhealth.com. And you have all kinds of information there.
Beautiful. Wildwoodhealth.com.
Yes.
Well, Danny, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here. God bless you.
Well, that's all for today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, as always, wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.